morning and welcome this morning in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who welcomes all. I am Reverend Corrine Borif, and I am excited that today assisting in leading worship will be Chris Tupling and Dwayne Landwehr. Our music will be provided by a Bell Quartet. Our Lenten Breakfast series continues this Saturday for this coming Saturday and then March 28th. This Saturday will be at St. Ambrose here in town, and our own Matt McClintic will be bringing the music for that. The following week, we are hosting on March 28th. Be sure to come and support our own. Reverend Brian White will be offering the message, and the Murrays will be bringing the music. Those breakfasts begin at 8 a.m. Today, in United Methodist tradition, it is UMCOR Sunday, that is United Methodist Committee on Relief. 100% of gifts given to UMCOR go directly to the ministry, the relief, or the need that they are specified for. If they are unspecified, they are given to the most immediate need that they have. For example, in the last few weeks, we had the tornadoes on March 6th at Branch, Cass, and St. Joseph counties in Michigan. UMCOR is there. You are invited to pray, especially for the families of the four people who lost their lives and for those who have lost their homes and their livelihoods. UMCOR is responded immediately to this disaster, offering relief, cleanup, and supplies. Want you to check out the Welcome Center this morning because there are many other announcements there. There's the opportunity to order Easter lilies. There are many Easter activities and opportunities. There are the special services are listed, and a spring Bible study you can sign up for with Pastor Brian. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Susan Selby now has a special outreach announcement for us.
Good morning. I'm coming to you with an update with the outreach committee this morning. The Easter letter was sent last week. I hope you're getting that in the mail. It explains in detail our external ministries and the fact that your Easter offerings support the external ministries. This year's choices for our assistance with our external ministries are United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, Gateway Association, Covenant Relationships, Literacy Coalition, Man for Man, St. Vincent de Paul, and the Indiana United Methodist Children's Home. We received a letter from the Methodist Children's Home stating last year's donation alone helped 111 youth and 7 young adults. And that is your giving in action. We have Easter envelopes at the back tables, and thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, Susan. As we prepare to greet one another, make sure that you greet someone you haven't seen for a while or someone you have yet to meet. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Come, all ye faithful. Come, all ye unfaithful. Come into the presence of Christ. Let us pray. God of ages, past and present faithfulness, welcome. We gather this morning to thank God for the easy conversation between old friends, the quick smile of a child, the warm look of hello from across the room, the caring phone call about our illness, the cards sent which say, just thinking of you, the little things that say we matter. All this God planned in God's compassion. This church is special to us and to God. Within it are people with many different gifts to offer extravagantly to God and to others. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whatever you have done for the least of my brothers or sisters, you have done it for me. Let us pray. Help us, Jesus, to see you in the needs that confront us daily. Help us to see you in those who are weak and lonely and hungry and afraid. And as we offer ourselves to those who need love, may we know that we are touching you. Amen.
Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and compassionate God, as we journey through our time of Lent, our time in deserts and low places, our time on the mountains and high places, we continue to seek you. We need you more than ever in our busyness, our loneliness, our sadness, in our depression, our anger, our happiness, our joy, our excitement. We need your presence, your compassion, your grace, your comfort, your renewal, your healing, your peace, your joy, your love, and your salvation. Lord, we are reminded that all this is embodied in your Son, Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that all this is freely given that we may have abundant life, eternal life, fullness of life, freed lives, grace-giving lives, lives filled with love. Come, Lord, pour your mercy and grace, love and salvation over us and over the wounded world in which we live. It is because of your grace that we now lift our voices in prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Standing for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 39 to 42. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. And from Mark chapter 15, verses 20 to 24, after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
I'm assuming that some of you were like me as a child. I did not want to be left out of anything, and bedtime was particularly a time when that would take place. I just hated to go to bed because laying in bed, I could smell my parents' popcorn that they had fixed, and I could hear the murmur of the TV and the laughter and their low voices, and it was like, what are they laughing about? What are they watching on TV? It must be something really good. I just did not want to be left out at all. And some of you can probably relate to that. Even the church can, because years ago, the church had organized itself so that you bought the pew that you sat in when you came to church. Now, some of us have claimed a pew, but they actually paid for it. They would pay a year in advance so that every Sunday when they came, their pew was their pew, and they had a place to belong in worship service, and they wouldn't miss out on anything. Now, there were many within the congregations that could not afford a pew, so they would sit whatever in the back where they maybe had an extra chair, or they would stand along and line the sides of the sanctuary, or even stand outside and watch from the windows. But nevertheless, they wanted to be included. They did not want to miss out. That's how the church used to be. But then, in 13 years ago, there was a new word introduced into the Oxford English Dictionary. And that word is an acronym. It's FOMO. You may have heard it before. The acronym stands for Fear of Missing Out. It has become such a big deal in our culture. It's actually identified as a new social disorder. And so this disorder that we have is just that we can't stand not being connected, whether it be Facebook or LinkedIn or the Instagram or IMs, whatever it happens to be. We want to know. We don't want to be left out of the latest information or news or whatever comes our way. Well, I don't think that's something brand new. I think it's something that we've kind of fallen into and maybe amplified a little bit in our culture. But I would suspect that Simon of Cyrene had a little bit of this, I don't want to be left out, not any longer. You see, he had come to Jerusalem for the Passover meal. Now, that's not odd because a whole lot of people did that. They came just for that experience. In Jerusalem, the holy city where the temple was, and they could offer their sacrifices. But Simon came from Africa. Specifically, Cyrene is what we know today as Libya. He had traveled up to 1,000 miles to get there. And so he had traveled to Jerusalem, and he had wanted to be there. He wanted to experience all that there was for Passover. He was heading straight to the temple. And there at the temple, he would offer the prayers, he would participate in the chants and hear those from the priests, and he would make a sacrifice. The sacrifice of a one-year-old unblemished lamb. And in the temple, that sacrifice would have been when the lamb was killed, the blood was placed on the altar, and then the meat was sent home with the family so that they could eat it at the Passover meal. Now, if you're kind of keeping track of where we are in the Passion story, didn't Jesus and his disciples just share the Passover meal the night before this all took place? Didn't Simon get there too late? No. You see, the Passover was a week-long festival. And there were so many people in town, so many people going to the temple, that they did the sacrifices in shifts each day and throughout the week in order to get them all done. Simon wasn't too late. He was there for the Passover. Odds are it was probably his first time there. He had finally gotten to come and he made it. He made it in time to participate in the Passover. And then, on his way to the temple, not wanting to be left out of the Passover any longer, he gets distracted. There's a large crowd. Now, that is relatively speaking, because you see, in Jerusalem, scholars can't decide during Jesus' time, the population of Jerusalem was anywhere between 25,000 and 250,000. They can't decide, but somewhere in there. But we do have an accurate count of a Passover just a few years after this all was taking place, of a Passover time in Jerusalem by the historian Josephus. And he tells us that there were 2.5 million people in town. So when we talk about a crowd, there was a crowd. But this particular crowd was focused. They were all looking in the same direction and they were on the move. Well, Simon didn't want to be left out. He had to see what was going on. It must be good. There was a young lady one time that, and this is not just a one-time thing, but she was standing in a long line and a person got curious and said, "Hey, what are you waiting for in this line?" She says, "I don't know, but it's got to be good. Look how long the line is." Well, that's kind of our mentality, right? Simon saw something. It's got to be good. Look at that crowd following them. And what he saw were three that were carrying crosses. Three on their way to crucifixion. He'd never seen a Roman crucifixion before, in all likelihood. He's from Africa. And by the way, in Africa, there was a large Jewish colony there that had been there when Jerusalem had been, when the country had been invaded before and they had left. And so there was a large group that were in Egypt. And he was probably one of those since he came for the Passover, right? But he probably had never seen a Roman crucifixion before. And it got his curiosity up. What is this all about? What did these three men do? And he noticed as they passed by, the last one fell. He seemed a whole lot weaker and more beaten up than the other two. And then it happened. Have you ever been tapped into service? That means that you're actually called to step out and do something. Well, he was tapped into service. And the Roman soldiers had a real interesting way of tapping you out. They carried swords or blades. They would lay the blade on your shoulder sharp side toward your neck. Think about that. You get a blade on your shoulder so that if you didn't decide you just didn't want to obey, they could easily remedy that with the blade, right? Simon couldn't refuse. He was tapped to take the cross from Jesus, who was too weak to carry it any further. Now, Simon, probably being from the first time, he was obviously shocked. There is a saying about taking up the cross of Christ. Jesus talks about him himself. But it says, if you get too close to the cross of Christ, you might end up carrying it. That statement, while it reflects here, is talking about discipleship. Taking on the work of Jesus Christ in Christ's footsteps. Just as Simon did. Christ says, and three Gospels record this, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9, it tells us that Jesus said, if you are to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me in doing the work I have begun. That's what Simon did. As we take up the cross of Jesus Christ, it reminds us that Christianity is not a spectator sport. Now, we may begin along the sidelines, but as the love of Jesus Christ, the reality of Christ, seeps into our hearts and our lives change. We seek out ways to carry on the work of Jesus Christ here and now. Simon was not an exception. Going to seminary, one of the things that I recognized in seminary and I've kind of missed is that gathering of clergy. They were all different denominations at the seminary I attended and all different stages of faith and all just a wide variety. But they had all responded to Jesus Christ and had all picked up the cross of Christ in answering the call to continue the work of Jesus Christ. For me, it came in the words that I just could not get out of my head. Just do it. And I knew that I had to respond. Had to respond to Jesus Christ. The love that I had experienced and the work that Christ yet needed to have done. But this carrying the cross is not just for the professionals. Not at all. It's meant to be a lifestyle. Simon of Cyrene is an example of that. He obviously stepped into that role. He carried the cross. He carried it to Calgary, to Golgotha, and there watched a crucifixion, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He learned there who Christ was and why he was being crucified. And he heard the words of Christ, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," from the cross. Love that just is unbelievable. It changed his life. How do we know? We don't know a whole lot about Simon other than what we hear here. But we hear about his sons, Alexander and Rufus. Mark gives us an account. We actually have ossuaries that were discovered in Israel that contain the remains of individuals. And on an ossuary, it's Alexander, son of Simon. You see, this experience of carrying the cross of Jesus Christ changed Simon. It changed his children. It impacted them so much so that the early church knew who they were. Mark includes their names in his gospel because the people that Mark were writing to knew who they were. They were a part of them, a part of the early church. The cross, encountering that, carrying it, changes us. It is powerful to understand the impact that that has. It's unbelievable, it's extravagant, it's radical, it's called grace. The act of what Jesus Christ did. But we have a task to do. There's a statement that says, we as disciples of Jesus Christ are to finish what Christ finished. Now that's not meant to be double talk, because Christ did all the redemptive work that was needed for you and I to experience salvation, to experience eternal life with our God. He paid the full price that we owed, each one of us. So what does that mean? That we are to finish the work that Christ finished. We are yet to completely have our lives touched by the cross. We have places within us that are still tucked away and hidden, that need to be touched by the cross, by the love of Jesus Christ. And we are to share that with others so that they too may experience the cross of Christ, the love of Jesus Christ that came through the cross and resurrection. There is a drama, a passion play, and I hope I pronounce it right. It's Abermagow. Abermagow. And Abermagow is from Bavaria, Germany. The passion play involves an entire city of Abermagow. And that city, 2,000 people participate in it. It takes place every 10 years. And if you're interested in going, it's 2030 is the next time that it will be around. That pattern of every 10 years has only been interrupted 4 times since 1634. And in order to participate, a person has to be a resident, has to be born in this city, or have lived there for 20 years or more, then you can participate. You see, it's a real honor to get to do that, to participate in the passion play. And of course, the highest honor given is the one of the person who plays Jesus Christ. Well, there was a man named Anton who 1 year got to be Christ during the Passion. And the Passion play takes place during Holy Week, right? Palm Sunday, we go through Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the resurrection. So the play goes through all that Holy Week. But he got tapped into being Jesus Christ. And part of that was carrying the cross of Christ, and it made such an impact on a businessman from America. He and his wife had come to watch this drama. And they had gotten special passes so that they could go where the actors went following the drama, kind of like behind the stage, so to speak. And as they were back there, they especially wanted to see Anton. I mean, he had played Jesus Christ, and it was just so powerful. And as they were looking around for Anton, they saw the cross laying down on its side. And the businessman said, "Hey, take my picture. I'm going to lift the cross up on my shoulder and take a picture of me while I'm holding the cross." Went over to the cross. He could not lift it. He couldn't even lift it off the ground, let alone lift it up to his shoulder. And as he was struggling with the cross, he looked over to see Anton. And he said, "Hey, what is up with this cross? I mean, this is a drama. Wouldn't you just hollow out the cross so it'd be light and easy to carry?" And Anton, with deep, deep conviction, said, "If I didn't feel the weight of Christ's cross, I couldn't be Jesus Christ for others." That's exactly what we are called to be. That's what Jesus called the disciples to be, his followers, to pick up his cross, to do something intentional that we would just otherwise avoid. And we do it out of the love of Jesus Christ for another. That's what it means to carry the cross of Christ. We're about to sing our closing song. It reminds us of the words of Jesus: "If you are to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me." Let us sing together. invite you to stand for the benediction. Go now and carry your cross. Let the fullness of Christ's love fill you, so that you may also be channels of Christ's love to others. Amen.